Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 258 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host as usual. Today, my guest is Adam Arkfeld. And Adam is the CEO at a company called Prevail Legal Marketing. And Prevail Legal Marketing is a pay-per-click legal marketing agency that has a really different kind of approach to the whole process. It kind of turns the whole pay-per-click thing on its head in the sense that under their model, they take all the risk and it's based on performance. The price of their lead generation is based on performance. So they do all the front-end work in order to set up the campaign and set up the pieces of the process such that you only pay for qualified leads that are delivered to your door. And it's kind of an interesting approach. It gets a little complicated here, but their playbook and their 10-step process for attorney marketing, I think, is really spot on. And it's going to work for a lot of different people. If you've been considering doing pay-per-click, I think this is one of the more interesting approaches. And I'm really delighted to have the opportunity to spend some time with Adam. So without any further delay, here is Adam Arkfeld. Adam Arkfeld, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Neil, thanks for having me.
Well, it's a delight to have you with us today, Adam. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm an entrepreneur that's owned a marketing agency for about 12 years. And we originally did website development. And about 6 years ago, we switched over to pay-per-click advertising or paid media. And about a year ago, actually, we created a new brand that really started niching down into the legal market with a little different model where we're performance-based instead of retainer-based. So, you know, there's a lot of steps from the start to today, but that's sort of a high level of what I do and where we are and just, you know, maybe why you and I are talking.
Great. Well, you know, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about legal marketing. You know, there's a lot of different views on what it is, where it's come from, and where it's heading, and how it's being embraced by the legal market, which, you know, frankly, a few years ago, it was hard to even describe what the legal market was in terms of a marketing perspective. So share with us, you know, your views on how that's changed over the course of time and what about it led you to niche down your marketing company to focus on legal marketing?
Yeah. So
if that's not too broad a question.
I'll just give you a little bit of a path and why we sort of like my beliefs about marketing and where, you know, I tend to hold pretty strong beliefs about different things. One of my beliefs is that specialization is really key. So we switched to pay-per-click advertising about 6 years ago. And we were working with a variety of different types of businesses. And so what we found was that, you know, we're kind of like reinventing the wheel all the time with different verticals and different types of businesses like e-commerce, lead generation, things like that. So we always had a number of legal clients. And as we got more comfortable in the legal space, I realized, and, you know, like the dirty little secret about legal marketing that PPC marketers don't want to say is that, you know, most campaigns are basically the same to a very, very large degree. Mm-hmm. So if I'm running a bankruptcy campaign here in Phoenix, which is where we're located, I'm selecting certain keywords, I have certain negatives. The exact same keywords and negatives more or less apply to every other bankruptcy attorney I might be advertising. So, you know, when you go deep into a vertical, so legal in this case, you know, from a business perspective, we can rinse and repeat different campaigns. So you know, when companies are charging 30% of ad spend or even 15 or 20% on high ad spends. I mean, if someone's running $100,000 a month in advertising on Google and they're paying an agency 10 or 15%, that's $10,000 to $15,000 a month. And that agency, you know, is likely not spending that much time on the account, would just be, that's just typically what I know of our industry.
That's so, why there's a lot of people in that industry at the time.
Yeah. And that's also why the industry has a really bad name. I mean, yeah. You know, the entire model is a little bit broken, and I've heard it on both legal and in other industry and other verticals where I'd say, okay, you know, we charge, you know, 15% of ad spend, and this is what we did, you know, earlier on. And so great. So it's a $5,000 ad spend and they're paying us, geez, I can't do my head, $750 or something like that. And then you double that and then you're getting paid $1,500. And then, so, but the work doesn't necessarily double because you double the ad spend, because the reality is you're changing budgets in an ad platform and you're not spending twice as much time on the campaign. So the correlation between effort and compensation is not really there. And attorneys don't like that.
I'll bet other marketers don't like hearing that either.
No, I mean, especially when you get to higher ad spend. So yeah, let's say, you know, $20,000 a month going to $30,000 or $40,000 a month. You are not spending twice as much time, yet the advertiser is getting compensated twice as much, and it makes no sense whatsoever.
Interesting.
So, you know, kind of what we decided to do was we said, all right, well, the compensation model is kind of broken. Like, it doesn't really make any sense. You can do a fixed cost, like a fixed retainer, and that's fine. So, hey, we charge $3,000 a month or $2,000 or $1,500 or whatever, and it doesn't change with ad spend. Or, you know, but the problem there is still that the advertiser gets compensated regardless of how the campaign performs. So there's no guarantees, right? And attorneys are oftentimes contingency-based. They don't get paid unless they perform. Right. And so we thought, well, what if we guaranteed the lead cost and we only get paid when we perform? And so we developed a model where we are compensated per lead instead of on a retainer basis. We can quote the lead cost up front because we know what the lead costs are in other markets around the country. We can basically guarantee the price for the lead, put some reasonable expectations around quality, and say, you know, we're guaranteeing you this number of leads for this amount of money. And if we go over that lead cost, then we're actually going to lose money ourselves. And that's our guarantee to you.
Well, it's a really intriguing model. And let me kind of drill down on that a little bit, because I think, as you said, for a lot of attorneys, the concern that they have is that they're going to be spending money on unqualified leads. You know, what if we're just looking at numbers? So if I spend X numbers of dollars and I'm guaranteed, you know, 30 leads a month, the real question behind that is that 30 potential new clients a month, or is it 5 potential new clients of which I closed one? So it's really, I only got one good client out of the 30.
Yeah. So that's the challenge with marketing, generally speaking, right? So let me just frame it like a little bit different way.
Okay, sure.
So let's say you're spending $1,000 on advertising and you're getting 10 leads. So you're getting $100. It's costing you $100 per lead. So you pay your agency. Let's just say that includes their fees. So just for easy math, it's $100 per lead. And 6 of those are qualified and 4 are not. 4 tire kickers asking for, you know, free advice. That's very common. When you pay per lead in our model, you might get the exact same numbers, 6 qualified, 4 unqualified. But because the attorneys are paying per lead, the entire psychology around the quality of the lead changes, and in a negative way for us, actually, because now every single lead that comes across, they're associating with a dollar amount versus just saying, all right, I'm spending $5,000. And at the end of the month, I'm going to learn how many leads I got, and what my cost per lead is. And there's kind of like a disassociation with the actual cost per lead and the timeliness, and, you know, that being a month later and finding out the metrics. So the quality of a lead is a very, very common talking point and a very difficult one to get around. The reality is, with pay-per-click advertising, you just get tire kickers and you get people that are not going to convert into customers. And whether you are paying per lead, like in our model, or paying someone a retainer, it's nearly impossible to filter those out, and it's just part of the marketing game.
True. And you have to kind of figure out where that price point is and it makes sense enough for you to, you know, get the kind of return that you're looking for. But I think the mental shift here with the concept that a company like yours, and by the way, did we mention the name of the company?
No, I don't think so.
We ought to do that.
Yeah, it's Prevail Legal Marketing.
So a company like Prevail Legal Marketing, you know, when the risk is shifted to the marketing company as opposed to client, I think the perception completely changes on behalf of the client. And so they, instead of assuming, I got 10 leads, I'll bet only, you know, a couple of them turn into clients. I think the shift is I've got 10 pretty good leads. Now the onus is on me to close them.
Right. Yeah, correct. And you're right. And it's so much easier, like for the attorney in particular, especially if they don't have a large marketing team or have a lot of time to analyze the data, it's so much easier to analyze the results of our campaigns because we just feed the leads into a Google sheet. I mean, they also go into the CRM or email notifications or whatever, but we have a backup feed into a Google sheet that lists all of the leads and you know your exact cost for those leads. And then you look at your revenue for those leads and your ROI analysis is super easy.
Yeah, it's just subtract column A from column B.
Yes, yep. Very easy.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Whereas with, you know, if you're doing a retainer base, it's just like fuzzier. It's like you don't know exactly how many leads and how qualified they are because they're going in your CRM. It's not in like a clear place. You have the retainer on top of the ad spend. You don't ever know exactly what your ad spend is. And then you're always like retroactively going 30 days back. Ours are just fed in real time. And yes, it takes a little while to close certain types of deals, especially like bankruptcy or estate planning or something like that. But the clarity of the cost and the results is extremely transparent, which again is sometimes I think marketers get away with the confusion of their results. They get away with, they're not doing it on purpose, but they get away with performance with not clear.
I think what I see from most attorneys is they have a pretty general understanding of how this is going to work. Okay, they pay a marketing company to bring the leads to them, and they're going to be achieved through some process or another. But beyond that, they're not able to drill down sufficiently to understand the exact value of the leads that they're getting because they can't make that correlation clearly enough. They could if they worked hard enough at it, but let's face it, attorneys are more interested in closing the lead and servicing the client than they are drilling down into the data to understand what the cost of that lead and the return of their investment really is.
Yeah. And I mean, I would argue that the bulk of that responsibility should be on the marketer. The attorney, if they want to really analyze a campaign, has responsibility to associate revenue with leads that are coming in through the marketing. That's, you know, kind of the only, in my opinion, that's the main piece that the attorney should be providing back to the marketer. But as far as like establishing an ROI, those are things that marketers can and should be doing. I actually found it quite hard to get revenue numbers back from attorneys for just a variety of reasons. I don't know. It's almost, I don't know if they don't want to share them or they don't have them, but that's been a hard part. And for marketers, we want to be successful. And I almost feel like that's almost lost sometimes that we actually want to make money for our clients.
Well, I think in part that's because a lot of times the attorneys aren't able to or haven't done a good job of associating expenditures and revenue on a per client basis.
Yeah.
You know, if you're billing hourly, it's a little easier. Sometimes the fixed fee cases are even simpler in that respect. I know if I do an estate plan, I charge $3,000 for the estate plan. I can at least say, all right, that lead came in for this amount of cost. The revenue for that plan was $3,000. That's pretty straightforward. But if I'm talking about a hourly client, until I get to the end of that representation, I don't know the total amount of revenue I've achieved for the client. So I can say, all right, in the first 2 months or 3 months of my representation for this client, I've billed and realized this kind of revenue. So the lead cost to that revenue point is one thing. Later on down the road, if I'm billing another 3 months worth of work, it's going to improve. So it's kind of a hard thing to put your finger on explicitly.
Yeah, it is. I would say that, you know, depending on the size of the firm and how many clients there are, simple Google Sheets could actually be quite helpful.
Well, it's always amazing how easy it is to do and how seldom it is done, you know. So that's true. Well, I'm interested in understanding a little better in terms of the attorney client, how they can scale what it is they're looking for in terms of lead generation with a performance-based marketing firm like yours. Do I say, look, I would like to get 30 leads per month, and you tell me how much that's going to cost? Or if I say I want to get 10 leads per month, you tell me it's a different price point, or is it just a factor of the original point?
Yeah. And, you know, the reality of what we do is that we do the same type of work that other PPC companies do, but we've changed the compensation model so that we have risk and have, you know, some guarantees on the price per lead. So I just sort of lay that out. There's a foundational, you know, a lot of the concepts that, you know, a retainer-based PPC agency might talk about are very similar with us. So when you talk about maybe scaling a campaign, I think sometimes I've heard that people think that with Google, you get efficiencies of scale if you spend more money. Mm. And that's actually the exact opposite of how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
You're bidding to be higher, right? So, but it's all based on the size of the market and how many leads that you're wanting. So if you're in a very small market, you may cap out at 15 leads a month because just there's not enough search traffic. If you have 500,000 people in your city and you're doing, you know, divorce, you know, there's just not going to be an incredible amount of traffic similar to match with, you know, Phoenix, which is 4 million people. And there's eight times as many people, eight times as many searches. So when it comes to, you know, scaling, it's a balance between what you want your cost per lead to be and how many leads that you want. So you might get 10 leads at $100 per lead, but if you want to go to 50 leads, then you're probably going to need to increase your cost per lead to 120 or 150 a lead because you need to get more aggressive and show for more searches.
I see. Yeah.
So, you know, for us, the way that we look at it is we have a pretty established cost per lead for most practice areas. We don't do certain practice areas like personal injury because, quite honestly, the large firm bids so aggressively that when it gets to a price per lead, most of our clients are just like, I don't even want to pay that per lead, even though that per lead anyway, if they're running a more of a retainer-based campaign.
Today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. For many years, marketing companies have focused on funnels that run for a short time, often leaving dozens of leads behind that didn't make a decision yet. Spotlight Branding has found a better way. It's called a content loop, and it's changing the way attorneys think about their marketing. This system nurtures your leads in perpetuity, with quality evergreen content that elevates your credibility and helps the rest of your marketing actually work. If you're interested in learning more, head over to spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, to learn more about the content loop and how it can revolutionize your law firm's marketing. Spotlight Branding, more referrals, better clients, higher return on investment. Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the all-in-one contact relationship manager, or CRM. I've been using Daylight for well over 10 years now, and it's the best CRM for business on the Mac and iPhone. And despite having a case management platform that I'm very happy with, I still use Daylight to handle all of my many other law firm needs. When you're running your own law firm, it can be difficult to stay on top of follow-ups, keep track of details and communication, and stay aware of what needs to be done next on each project. Daylight organizes everything in one place, so you don't have to rely on your memory to keep it all straight. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade from spreadsheets to a CRM, check out Daylight. You can download it from the App Store or visit www.marketcircle.com and try it free for 30 days. On top of that, you can get your first month free when you tell them you heard about Daylight here on The Law Entrepreneur. Daylight by Market Circle, staying top of mind without the stress. Yeah, I can see that. And then there are other practice areas I think that will probably lend themselves a little better. When you're talking about volume, things like family law, estate planning, maybe.
Yeah, and we see divorce doing really, really well. So in the pay-per-click world, there's a correlation between intent and then revenue, right, for the practice area. So when you start looking at, okay, if a divorce lead is, let's say it's $175 a lead, like we charge that in some markets. If someone's looking for a divorce attorney, they're pretty far down the road in divorce, right? They're probably going to hire a divorce attorney because that's pretty deep down the road in the divorce process. And many of our attorneys charge $5,000 for divorce. So with high intent and higher-ish revenue, you know, you might close 1 in 5 of those divorce leads. When you move into something like bankruptcy, people are just kicking the tires on bankruptcy. They may not file bankruptcy for 6 months or 9 months or a year, and they require massive follow-up, a little bit lower intent, and the revenue is so much lower. You know, it's anywhere between $1,600 and $2,000 normally. So when you look at those two different practice areas, the correlation between the practice area and the intent is just critically important to the success of a campaign. Practice areas that have lower intent and are not time sensitive tend to perform worse and require a lot more follow-up.
Interesting. You know, looking at your website, there's and we'll have the URL for the website in our show notes here. There's a really interesting thing that you do that I wish more vendors, more companies, and frankly, more lawyers, I think, should do. One of the complaints that we heard, and it's articulated in the Clio Legal Trends Report, is that clients don't know what the process is going to be, what the life cycle of their working with you as an attorney is going to entail. And similarly, I would say lawyers oftentimes don't know what the life cycle process of working with a vendor, say a marketing vendor or coaching provider or what have you. They don't know what the steps are. You've laid the steps on working with Prevail out in 10 really understandable pieces. And I think it speaks a lot to how the process works between you and a potential client. Can you run through that a little bit?
Run through the actual steps?
Yeah.
I'll pull them up.
Yeah.
No, they're on the list.
And you talked about it in general. You talk about, you know, building the campaign to start with and then delivering the leads. And I mean, there's a couple of things I think that this helps to illustrate the expectations that we should have if we want to, you know, do business with a company like yours, about getting started small and, you know, personalizing and your own landing page, that kind of thing. That's kind of was hoping you could talk about for a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I have a general saying that, you know, probably a lot of your listeners have heard, which is clear is kind and unclear is unkind. And that applies to expectations primarily, or at least that's where I tend to apply it.
Yeah.
My team, my kids, my clients. If you're unclear, it causes anxiety for people, just in general.
Yeah,
they don't know what to expect. They don't know what's going to happen next. So, you know, something like this, we have it broken down into campaign build, delivery, and then continuation. The way that we work is, you know, as I was saying before, most campaigns are built the same, and PPC companies don't really like to say that, but when we build out campaigns, we're not starting fresh. Like we're not
starting from scratch. If I ask you to, let's just say, if I ask you to build an estate planning campaign for me, you're not starting from scratch. You've done that for similar attorneys in similar situations, maybe not the exact same locale, but comparable.
Yeah. And I mean, let me give you, like the reality is we go in, we use Google Ads Editor and we hit copy and then we hit paste and then we change the destination URL to our new landing page. And I can build an estate planning campaign in less than an hour, probably more like 30. We have a landing page software, it's called RallyMind, that allows us to build a landing page in less than 15 minutes because we have templates built out. So we can build out an entire campaign in 2 hours or less. So we don't charge for that because we've done it. And the landing pages for us convert, and it's our job to convert, it's our job to run the ads, and then we generate the leads. So we start with a small trial of leads, let's say 25 leads. We build the campaign and landing page in-house. We don't charge for that. They're branded campaigns. So if anyone's buying leads from a lead vendor, it's, you know, we're a PPC agency. We're not a lead vendor. They're under your brand. So under your firm name.
Yeah. So when they go, when the potential client does a search, it clicks on the campaign directive, they end up on the landing page that you've built. It's not a generic one. It's branded for your specific campaign. So it's going to look like it's going to be consistent with your brand.
Right. Yeah. It is a template, but it's branded for you. Correct. Yep. That's right. Yeah. And so what that means is that you're not going to, the lead's not going to be resold to other attorneys. You can control the messaging. You know what's on there, right? So you have control over it. That typically takes, you know, 5, maybe 7 days to get everything built. And then we launch the campaign and Google takes a little while to optimize, or Facebook is a little faster, but we might deliver those 25 leads in a couple of weeks. And then what we like to do is just kind of monitor and talk to our clients about quality, intake, follow-up, things like that to make sure that, you know, the right types of leads are coming in. And I will say the one area that we probably spend the most time talking about is intake and follow-up. It's just, it varies so much between firms, just dramatically. And it's the number, I mean, you know, there's two parts to every campaign. There's the lead being generated and the sale closing. It's just, it is one of the massive factors that differentiates a successful campaign between an unsuccessful campaign is the intake and follow-up and how the attorneys handle inbound leads.
Yeah. Well, if you get a couple of dozen really qualified leads delivered to your doorstep and you don't have a system to process them and turn them into paying clients, you know, you kind of waste your money. But I'm sure that you see, working with hundreds of attorneys around the country, that that varies dramatically from attorney to attorney, from law firm to law firm.
Oh, dramatically. And, you know, if you're buying 25 leads, that doesn't sound like a lot, right? And let's say, okay, let's say 15 of them are going to be quality. Well, that's fine. Maybe you can stay on top of those for a little bit. Then you get a little busy and then you buy 25 more leads. And then you have this stacking situation. And in estate planning, you're in one of those lower intent services where someone doesn't need to get an estate plan necessarily, right? I mean, like they're looking around, they're shopping, they don't always need it. Like they need criminal defense or like they divorce. And so they just require a lot of follow-up. And if that's not happening, then the campaigns just really suffer. The ROI of the campaigns will really suffer.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do with the quality of the lead.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's something that we as attorneys have to recognize. And so, and I'm sure that you have conversations then with the attorneys about what is their intake process? What are they doing with these leads? And you may have some observations or some suggestions that you've gleaned from having worked with thousands of others that might be useful to that attorney client.
Yeah. I mean, geez, we have this conversation so much. You know, I think the one rule that I kind of see violated the most often is, you know, sort of like the follow-up till the lead is dead rule. And that's primarily in the lower intent service areas, like estate planning, bankruptcy, you know, those just come to mind right off the top of my head, where, you know, I'll use bankruptcy. It's just like the best example. We do a lot of bankruptcy. Those leads are alive for months, just months, because they're running low on money. Maybe their wages haven't been garnished yet, but then they start getting garnished, or the creditor calls, you know, really start mounting up. You know, someone is in pain and they've contacted, especially if it's like maybe a Facebook lead, which is lower quality than Google. And the ROI of a campaign, a lot of times attorneys will look at it in like a 30-day window and then sort of give up on those leads. But a bankruptcy lead is viable for 6 months. It's viable for a long time. So there needs to be some sort of a system, and it could be as easy as a Google sheet, depending on the volume, or as complicated as some sort of a dialer, if you will. Follow-up is by far.
Yeah. The proof is in the follow-up. I will tell you and share with you a story that I had recently booked a client who, when we kind of drilled down a little bit, so your name sounds awfully familiar, and looked back at my list of leads. And this is a client who attended seminar that I did 8 years ago.
You remembered the name?
And I had them on my list, but the name sounded familiar. And when I questioned them on it, they said, yeah, we've just been slow to pull the trigger. I said, well, what kept our firm top of mind for you? How did you remember to contact us? And so it's that damn newsletter you send me all the time. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So your point is well made. It oftentimes is in the follow-up here. And so here we've got this now successful campaign going. I've got some leads coming in. I'm working on it from an intake perspective. Can I throttle that if I'm getting too busy? Can I cut it down? Can I increase it if I want more? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, for our services, it's a, there's no contract. The only, any sort of semblance of a contract is if you buy 25 leads, we deliver 25 leads. So, yeah. But after that, then it's done. So what a lot of our clients will say is, hey, we try and pace at 30 leads a month. And, with the ad platforms, it's art and science. So we try and budget it to get pretty close to that. And usually we're pretty close, yep. It's not exact, but then they pace it a certain amount. And then, when 5 leads short of fulfilling, we'll send another invoice. And then if there's conversations, we have conversations, but you can change volume. When you try and go really high volume, then we might have to have a conversation with the lead cost, based on our conversation before. But typically, most firms are shooting for something between 20 and 50 leads a month.
Yeah. And if they're going to tweak it, they're going to tweak it in small amounts.
Right. Yeah. Right. Correct. And
they're not going to say, hey, I want to double it next month.
Yeah. Unless the campaign's really, here's the thing, when intake is set up, when it's set up well and the law firms are confident in their intake, they will say, I want to double it.
Okay.
That's just, well, especially bankruptcy. Yeah. Certain types of services, they can do that. Now, you're not going to go from probably 300 leads a month to 600 leads a month, but you might go from 25 to 50 without a doubt if they feel confident in the campaign.
Sure. Well, that's good problem to have.
Yeah. And, a lot of times that's if a firm's bigger and they're, just sort of testing us out and then wanting us to scale or something like that. So,
yeah, it sounds like that would be the case. Well, listen, Adam, this has been really interesting for me. I think it's a different model, and I think it's one that has real promise for the legal space. It addresses most of the concerns I think that the legal profession has with respect to pay-per-click advertising, and kind of drills down on that accountability aspect of it, which I think is really something that sets you guys apart. There may be other people who do performance-based marketing like that, but you're kind of one of the first that I've heard of. So I appreciate that. Tell our audience how they might reach out to you if they want to follow up on anything you've had to say.
Yeah, sure. Our website's Grow with Prevail. And then my name is just, my email is adam@growwithprevail.com. That's the best way.
Okay. Well, Adam, thanks again for taking the time to be with us on The Law Entrepreneur. I wish you the best of luck, and let's stay in touch.
Thank you, Neil. I appreciate it.
Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors as usual, Ruby Receptionists, Daylight, and Spotlight Branding. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.